All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, can we just quickly open our Bibles again and let's begin our study for today. Let's start again from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Paul was talking about what God did for us in Christ Jesus. Also, can you just open your Bibles, by the way, to Deuteronomy chapter 2? So we can quickly make a reference to that. Moses said in verse 14, Deuteronomy chapter 2, before I go to Ephesians chapter 2. He said, now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the brook Zereb was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. He said, moreover, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from within the camp until they all perished. Please bear that one in mind. And then let's go down to our book of Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 1 it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. He said, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, that is subject to the wrath of God, even as the rest. He said, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, that is, we were under the power of spiritual death, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, he says, and he raised us, in verse 6, up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come we might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Please, my emphasis today is going to be in that verse 10. As we go on, I'll get there. It said, for we are his workmanship. Now, let me start. That will be from verse 8. My emphasis will be verses 8, 9, and 10. It said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, there is one more scripture I'd like to read before I begin to pass my comments. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. From verse 1, it says, therefore, let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Verse 2 says, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Now, please, let me just stop there. Now, I've read this number of scriptures to introduce the thing that we have been discussing, so we can go into more details about it today. I've been talking about the birth of a new generation. Now, please bear that in mind. What we have been talking about is what? The birth of a new generation. Now, I read that Deuteronomy chapter 2 to bring something to our minds again. There's a spiritual principle, and this is how God does it. The Bible says that he takes away the first to establish the second. There was a statement I made last week which I would like to emphasize again. I said, before God brings forth a new thing, the first thing it does is to bring forth a new people. Please let me say that again. Before God brings forth a new thing, the first thing it does is to do what? Bring forth a new people. It's the people that decide what will be done. Now, listen to this. I need to say it clearly. Now, I've said this several times, but I think I can't say it enough, because people must get the point clearly. What people experience on the earth, or what the earth experiences, is dependent upon the people that are on the earth. The earth responds to the presence of the people that are upon it. You know, one of my friends called me a few days ago. He said, sir, what do you think about what is going on in China right now? For those of you who know, the earthquake in China, they're told by now I should have crossed 70,000. or something. And then just about 2 days ago, they still had an aftershock that was the magnitude of a good earthquake somewhere else. All right, it's a 5.3 or something, the magnitude of the aftershock. Now, those things are still going on in China, and they are really suffered. You see, they talked about, if I never heard about quake leaks until this Chinese one, that is, a river is flowing, and then there's an earthquake. The landslide that the earthquake produces blocks the path of the river so much that the water now starts swelling, all right? It's forming a lake. The problem is that after a while, it will have to burst through the obstruction, and that means that all the towns and villages lower down are going to be flooded and wiped away. Now, so you see all the things the Chinese people have been trying to do to clear the way. So that's what he was saying, that what do I think about what is going on right now in China? And I understood what he was saying. That is, what do you think is the cause of it? The same person who sent me a mail when the tsunami hit and wiped quite a huge chunk of people, over 200,000 people were killed in the Banda Aceh area of, that was Indonesia, right? Yeah, some years ago. And he sent me a mail when that happened. He said, I remember a statement you made many years ago. You know, I couldn't even remember the statement. And that's the fact that he said that, I said, these people are playing with certain things, that the day God is going to judge them, they will be shocked. I didn't even remember that I said that. So now he asked me, okay, what do you think about what's going on in China? And I didn't have much to say. I said, I don't really know so much about China. Then he now began to give me his analysis. And I want to say that so that you will understand the things we are saying are real. He said, if you see, there was something my wife said, which is very important. You know, there's one of the villages in China that a lot of children died because the newest building in the village or the town collapsed. It was a school building, 3 stories. It collapsed and killed most of the people that were inside there, teachers and children. And my wife made a statement that, the people, they found out that, as a matter of fact, the buildings were built with substandard materials. They were built to a substandard level. And buildings are always collapsing in Nigeria. Now, if you watched the news a few days ago, they showed that Standards Organization of Nigeria, they've woken up to their responsibility. They impounded several trucks containing iron rods. And the iron rods were smaller than is appropriate for that particular gauge. Do you understand what I'm saying? They would level it 10 mm, meanwhile it would be 9 mm or 8 mm, you know, the way Chinese people do it. So my wife said that, so this thing that they do to the rest of the world, they do it to themselves too. That is, a building collapsed, somebody said, not because of earthquake, but because of bad materials. A building can collapse and it doesn't crumble. That way a lot of people will be trapped, but you eventually rescue a lot of them. But this one collapsed and crumbled, so it killed most people. So my wife said, all right, so these things they've been doing to us, they do it to themselves also. That is, okay, so they are feeling the effects of using substandard products. All right, because they do it, I mean, you know what I mean. They do it, you go, you want to buy cable, please don't buy any imported cable in Nigeria of today. You buy Nigerian cable, all right? Because if you use the one that's substandard, your building will catch fire one day. Because you put the load that's supposed to be carried by maybe 2 mm cable. You don't know that the one they sold to is actually 0.8 mm, if you know what I'm saying. And that's it. The thing gets overheated and then it starts burning. So the young man said, what do I think? So he began to analyze what he felt. Now, among the things he pointed out to me is that virtually every nation on the earth, that where do you find, if you go to Sudan, talk about Darfur crisis and all of that, where do they get their arms from to fight the southern Sudan from China? Who sold the warship and military equipment to Zimbabwe under crisis period? China. Everywhere that everybody is saying what people are doing is not good, China will sell them arms. You know, a friend of mine who went to China to do business said they have a principle. It's as if their government sponsors that principle. No matter what you have to do, the money must come in. That is, you go to China, another of my friends said it. If you go there and say, okay, this handkerchief, how much do you make it for me? I want to buy it because they mass produce things. They tell you that maybe 1,000 dozens, tell you maybe it's $200. And you say, that is too expensive. Can't I pay 100? They will never argue with you. That you want to pay 100, go ahead, pay 100. So you feel you are getting a good bargain. So let me continue haggling some more. So what if I pay 50? The man will say, 50, I take. No problem. They speak like broken English also. What he doesn't tell you is that the more you price, the lower the amount of cotton inside and the higher the amount of polyester. He won't explain it to you. You want handkerchief for $10 instead of 100, you will get it. If he has to use tissue paper and nylon to make it for you, he will. But that money, you will drop it. Do you get what I'm saying? Now let's get this clear. What the earth experiences, all right, is a product of the state of our hearts. I've said this several times, that what the earth actually is a stage for us to demonstrate what is inside our hearts. That's why I love this movie so much, Matrix. You see, there's a way I saw it. I said, no, what these people are doing, they are showing really, because in Matrix, people are playing with their minds, and then it becomes like real world to them. But actually, that's what is going on amongst us also. What is inside our hearts is what is being played out, all right, on this earth. It's not really the it's not the things we determine consciously that come to be, but those things that are deep-seated inside us, they affect the things that are around. I said it before that the earth responds. The earth has ears. It can feel. God said that if you pollute it, the earth will vomit up its inhabitants. Because of my training, I understand that vomiting is a reflex to preserve the organism. Do you understand what I mean? If you eat what is not good, your stomach feels it and it turns over and vomits. That is, don't spoil us, we'd rather throw you out. And that's what God says. If your morality is not good enough for the preservation of the earth will kill the people that are upon it. That's just the way it works. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you see, let me tell you something. The fact that something has a physical explanation does not mean it is not spiritual in origin. Do you get the point I'm making? The fact that it has a physical explanation does not mean it is not spiritual in origin. I've told many stories to explain this. I said several times that one of the things I thank God for about my life, and I'm sure that's why he plotted it like that, is so that because of my training, I'm a medical doctor, I'm a specialist. So when I speak, all right, on some issues, people can't say I'm talking out of ignorance. All right, if you want to describe diseases, I know how they will come about. I can tell you the story of viruses, of bacteria, of all kinds of things. But I also know, do you get my point? That the movement of physical things is dictated by the spiritual realm. If God wants to punish a Gehazi, he sends him leprosy. Do you follow? Now, the doctor can scrape and find the organism causing leprosy. But God will not say, this is the reason why Gehazi had leprosy. He went into a leprosarium. No, he will say, because of the lie, he lied to Elisha and lied to collect goods, material things, all right, from Naaman. They said that is why leprosy has come to his house. Over time, you will discover that it appears like the descendants are predisposed to development of leprosy. And we will have medical explanations for it. We will map out the gene in their system that has made them susceptible to leprosy. What we will not ask is that who said, who dictated that gene should be a determining gene for leprosy? We don't ask such questions because we don't have an explanation. If I'm not ready to receive the things of the Spirit, as a matter of fact, it is because of the word of the Lord from the mouth of Elisha that said, all right, any gene that Gehazi and his descendants will have, they will be genes of leprosy. No matter how you want to study it, it will be a gene of what? Of leprosy. I'm explaining the principle. So he found out that physical things respond to the spiritual. That's what we are saying. And when people are bringing forth evil out of their hearts, the earth upon which they step will experience evil. And if God is going to turn a nation around and turn things around for the better, the first thing he does is to bring a new set of people onto the scene. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what he does. He brings forth a new set of people. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 2, which is where we began our study from, that the story came there, of course. We know the story there is about the people that doubted God in Kadesh Barnea, and their hearts were unable to take the promised land. I'm not going to go over that again. We discussed that in the previous weeks. If you're not around, you can get the CDs. But what we pointed out there is this. To take the promised land, you needed a kind of heart, and the heart they had couldn't take the promised land. And since they had left Egypt, God said, all right, we will destroy them in the wilderness. The reason being that they couldn't enter into the promised land. Let me say it again. God was actually doing them a favor. If they had entered into the promised land anyway, the giants would have killed them because they couldn't take the promised land. It was just not inside them. Now, Paul was now explaining in our studies, Ephesians chapter 2. That was where we were last week. He said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He said, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, let me explain that again. We explained that the world has a spirit. Now, let me settle down and slow down now. That the world has a spirit that directs them in a particular direction. I established last week that we can say categorically that there is a spirit of corruption that is present in Nigeria. You don't have to try to be a corrupt person. You just need to live in Nigeria and there's corruption.
many years ago, the British Embassy in Lagos, they evacuated all their staff and sent them back home. And I laughed because they had been within the geographical terrain of Nigeria for a long time. And the spirit of corruption had entered into their staff. They discovered that you could buy a British visa. There was already a cartel. You wanted a British visa, you didn't need to qualify. You needed to have money. Between the Nigerians and the Britons in there, they had rearranged the whole thing that, oh boy, it's a matter of money. You want to go to UK? No, how much are you paying? They give you your bill, you pay, and you are guaranteed. You're going for a normal interview. That's the interesting part. You go for a normal interview, they interview normally, but you couldn't fail. The deal was done. When the people found out, there was no quarrel, no investigation, nothing. They just evacuated all their staff and replaced with new ones that the spirit had not yet entered. No, really, that thing is true. You know, I've heard people talk about, you know, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he talked about the sexual immorality that was amongst them. And he explained, no, okay, now, people who have talked about it said that that's the issue, that in Corinth, it was a city that was full of such activities. So the church in there, not being careful, that's why you must understand what when he said, don't give room to the devil. All right? Because if you do, there is a kind of spirit that is in a particular area and they will try and flow even into the church if the church will open the door for it. Do you get what I'm saying? All right? Now, so that's what happened. The people, they had become as corrupt as Nigerians were. And I said this to us that last time, that is a spirit. It's not a matter of trying. You know, we must learn as believers to look beyond the physical realm. And we must learn to interpret everything in light of spiritual things. Because if you have good understanding of spiritual matter, you will find it easier to handle life. Today I was listening to Ravi Zacharias. He's an Indian, but I don't know which country he lives in. I think UK, US. Or UK, one of them. He's a philosopher, what they call a Christian. He's an apologist. He's a Christian apologist. He speaks a lot on intellectual matters and all of that. Now, he was talking, he narrated a story in which somebody was explaining that it appears like everybody has a prize. All right, I will tell you the story to make you laugh. All right, and this is how the person explained it. He said a man was on a plane. I don't know whether this really happened or not, but listen to this. He said a man was on a plane, and sitting beside him was a very attractive woman. So, after a while, he decided to talk to the woman and propositioned the woman for the sum of $1 million. The woman would agree to stay a night with him. And the woman looked initially and she was shocked, like, what? After a while, she turned to the guy and said, are you serious about that $1 million? The guy said, yes, exactly, I am. All right, so they agreed, fixed the date, fixed the place, fixed everything. And she was going to come and spend the night with him for $1 million. Along the line, the man now turned and said, well, you know, actually, I don't have $1 million. I was wondering whether you'd do the same thing for $10. And the woman shouted, what do you take me for? He said, I thought we have already settled that. We know what you are. It's the amounts now we are haggling. So, now the man was explaining that. Now, that story was supposed to just bring out an issue. That it appears that, okay, everybody, all right, has a prize. Now, let me talk about that story as an example. You know, I brought that one of trying to explain that Christians should learn to look from a spiritual angle. If you look at things from a spiritual angle, you will get the point I'm trying to make today. You'll be able to relate better with life and tackle issues. Now, so as I was driving, I went to Newe this morning. So I was on the way, I was listening to that message again. So I began to meditate that, okay, $1 million. This young woman or this woman said, $1 million, after all, what's the big deal? Nobody will know. You know, just rationalize around. I said, but somebody of spiritual understanding, I began to think like that. I said, $1 million is too small. $1 billion is too small. I said, what is the real value? Let us explain. If you understand the real value, you tackle it differently. I said, the real value is not just about you. I was thinking about myself as a man. I said, what is the real value? It's about introducing mental instability into my home. I said, it's about the life of my children. Listen, it's not about money. Do you get what I'm saying? We are looking at it as if it's a matter of money and morality. No, it's about the life of my children. It's about the ability to do well in school tomorrow. Do you get my point? Now, put it together and offer me $100 billion. You think I'll take it from you? I can't. I will look at my kids. I say, I want these people to struggle through life. I will look at my daughter. I want her to become a harlot when she's a teenager. I said, no, you can't give me enough money to buy that. You can't. But when we don't have spiritual understanding, we think it's about money. We think it's all about money. No, I understand these things. It's not about money. I will just look at my children. I said, you don't get the point. It's a spirit you are releasing into your household. My wife told me something some time ago. I cannot give you the details now. But then, when she finished explaining, tell me something. I just said, it was something somebody told her actually. I just said, this is a matter of the occult. She pulled back. I said, let me tell you what is going on. If they are able to persuade this person to do this, it's not about what is right and what is wrong. I said, there is a spirit that has been trying to attack this fellow. And that spirit has not found a door. Therefore, to create a door, they now came to tempt her with iniquity. Do you get my point? You can look at it as a matter of sin. No, it's not about sin. It's about death and life. It's not about, will people know, people will not know. How will it be? Is it morally good? Or no. Oh, maybe I didn't tell you. I told Martin, one of my colleagues, a man of spiritual understanding also. I just narrated the stuff to him. Before I finished, he said, that's a cult. I had not finished. He said, Nubanki, that's a cult. He said, there's a spirit after that person. I said, oh, you were there when I was discussing with my wife about it. I said, you just got it. He said, now today we read this life. We understand that these are spiritual matters. People don't understand it. Let me say this to you again. No, listen. You go out in life. We said that there are 1,000 temptations in this life. But let's stop looking at temptation as a matter of what do I get, what I don't get. Will God be happy and God will not be happy? Let us remember what temptation is really about. It's about leakage of spiritual energy. Listen, Satan can offer you 100 million naira. Join our group, do this, do that. And look, in a short while, you two will be driving a Hummer. And you look at it, as a 31-year-old person, I'll drive this, I'll have this. You put everything together, 300 million naira, and you are in order. Hi. If you have spiritual understanding, you will know it's not about money. It's not about houses. It's not about cars. It's that Satan looked and said, if this boy manifests, the 300 million naira we are talking about, it will not be his level. It will be in his company, those who are two levels below him. That's what they will be discussing. If this guy manifests, this is a blessing he will bring to this region of this country. If this guy manifests, this is the number of people he will be able to send through school. If this guy manifests, our foray into campuses to cause iniquity, this is how he will end it. If this guy manifests, he said, boys, tempt him. Whatever he will take, give him a billionaire if that's what he's asking for. And the guy with a background of poverty alone, with no understanding in his brain, he said, this is my opportunity. I can build a house for my father. This is my opportunity. Now I can help my cousins and brothers and sisters. This is my opportunity. He doesn't understand that. Listen, Satan is not stupid. If it was you, I wanted to sell you this handkerchief. Do you get my point? And I said, bring 5,000 naira for it. Will you buy? You look at it. What is it? It's nonsense. This one is even used. A brand new one downstairs is 150. You wouldn't buy. So if you will give somebody that amount of money for something, you know that thing is more valuable than what he's paying for. What he's paying for it. When we talk about a man's soul, the way most of us look at it, we think is the soul is just about Satan wants to populate hell. What will he do if hell is plenty? What will he gain? No, ask yourself. What will he gain if hell is full? No, it's not about the hell or heaven. It's about now. It's about proving the wisdom of God as wrong. Do you get my point? It's about crippling God's ability because God's ability is loaded, listen, inside people. God doesn't manifest without going through people. That is it. When God wants to bless people, he sends a man. And Satan says, watch it, let me corrupt the man so that God can no longer bless them. Are you getting the point I'm making? I mean, Satan knows what he's doing, so he comes tempting people. It is not just about money or this or that. Now, I said all of this, that we now, if we understand spiritual things, we're able to tackle life differently. So in that same message, Ravi Zacharias was preaching. Okay, talking about, is it true everybody has a price? I said, depends on what they call, if they understand what really a price is. Can everybody be deceived? Yes. Are you getting my point? But if you were to open their eyes, the temptation of Jesus Christ, if let us assume you just want a normal human being went through that temptation, but then before you went through the temptation, you said, look, oh, you are Jesus Christ. Say yes, all right. Before that, let us first play. How many of you have seen this movie, The Devil's Advocate? Please, if you can, look at it with spiritual eyes. Let me tell you a bit of the story. It's the day I saw the movie on TV once, many years ago. After that, I went to go and look for the CD. Because there was a spiritual lesson in it. A guy was being tempted. It's a story about a temptation. Satan, they said the devil's advocate. There was a devil there that was tempting people. So, the guy was being tempted. He was being tempted. What was it? He was a small town lawyer. Do you understand? Maybe he's a lawyer somewhere in... Don't let me even say Enugu. Let me just say... Okay, let's say, okay, he's a lawyer somewhere in Udi. Yeah, that's better. And he was doing well, managing one small car. His wife was doing small business, and they were just managing. And then one day, he had a challenge. He had never lost a case. And one day, he was going to lose a case. It was a matter of pride of life. He was going to lose a case. And the reporter was there making it like, oh, what is the first time you are going to lose? Oh? Now, he could win. He had the ability to win. But he had to kill his conscience to do that. So, his conscience was seriously troubled. He could just allow the case flow and he will lose. Or put on his best. Tell all the lies. Do everything he has to do and win. Do you understand? Now, he didn't know it was a vision. This what turned out, if you have seen the movie for the first time, you won't know it's a vision actually. So, along the line, when that man was taunting him, the reporter, that, oh, it looks like there's always a first time. This is your first time you're going to lose today. Suddenly he rose up like, me, lose. You know, cocked his brain and said, all right. Went back into the courtroom, delivered the most serious defense he could, and he won the case. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew he was lying. He knew everything he was doing was upside down. But he made his choice that, this man wants to turn to me. No. But, you see, from there, he moved on from Udi. Some people came, met him and said, all right, we hear you, how good you are. We have a job for you in Lagos. All right, that was New York for them. So let's ask him something like Lagos. He got to Lagos. Ha! They put him in the best hotel, welcomed, treated him very well, showed him their package. So you are going to end. We took him to their company quarters somewhere in VI, showed him his own apartment. The guy was excited. Cut a long story short. Along the line, there was plenty of money flowing. He had to keep breaking the rules of his conscience. And then finally, along the line, distance was coming between him and his wife. His wife became mentally deranged. And eventually, while he was watching, the woman slit her own throat and died. And then he woke up. That's when it was actually a vision he was having. He was actually still in that bathroom trying to wash his face where that guy was taunting him. It was while he was bent over the sink that that whole vision played in his mind. When he went back into the courtroom, if you saw the cinema movie, he looked at his wife, looked at her, and was touching her face like, oh, you are still there. Oh, my God. You are still there. Now, this is the point. Now, you know the way they make these movies? They make it look like you can't defeat the devil because the devil played another trick on him, and it appeared like he might or might not lose that one. We don't know. But the thing is that there, he now made his decision, no, Abego, I'm pulling out of this case. I don't want to holler. Now, he was going to lose a lot of things for pulling out. But you know what he was seeing was different. He wasn't seeing the temporal loss. He knew what he suffered. All right? Going the other way. Because he had seen it in a vision. He knew what he would have to go through. And the guy had no choice but to turn the other way. Do you get the point I'm making? That's just the way life is. So the Jesus that's going to be tempted, if you show him what is going to come, oh boy, you don't go for that temptation. No. You understand? It's not just about I bow, I don't bow. It's about the redemption of mankind. It's about what the devil will do to the whole of the human race if he were to win me over. Are you getting my point? Please, try and follow me what I'm saying. We need to establish this. You know, as I'm trying to explain to us again, that what the earth experiences is a product of the lives of the people that are upon it. And that if God wants to introduce something new, he first has to introduce new people. Do you get what I'm saying? And I'm saying that the temptation that Satan gives to people is not just about what that temptation is. It's about a bigger picture. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not about killing a goat and joining a cult and getting money or not getting money. It's about buying something heavier than that fellow could ever have imagined. Let me say this in plain terms. Take our country, Nigeria, as an example. Later on, I'll read the scripture because the Bible says that those that are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Now, let me just quickly read that. This I will understand. Revelation chapter 17. Now, I read this to explain a principle. Now, here I was describing how Satan wages war and the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, will wage his own war. Now, I won't read everything, but I just want to explain a principle. Let's read from verse 12. It said, "And then ten horns, and the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast." Verse 14, "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful." My emphasis is that verse 14, which states that there is a war going on between the beast and the Lamb. And that the ten kings have one purpose, in verse 13, that they give their power and authority to the beast. What that means, actually, is that they exercise their power and authority for the purpose of the beast. Do you understand my point? Now, if you read in between the lines, you'll see that's exactly what he's saying in verse 14. He said, "These will wage war." Notice it is these, not the beast, but these kings will wage war on behalf of the beast this time around against the Lamb. He said, "But the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings." Now, notice this. Those who are with the beasts are the ten kings. I hope you are getting the point. Those who are with the beast are what? The ten kings. But those who are with the Lamb, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And just like those people with the beast exercise their power and authority for the beast's purpose, what these people are also doing is that they are exercising their spiritual energy to serve the purpose of the Lamb, and that is why the Lamb will overcome. People don't get the point. They think that the Lamb will overcome because he's Lord, Lord of lords and King of kings. That is the emphasis on the Lord and King. But actually, the emphasis on the lords and kings. That is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The lords and kings who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That is, if Jesus is going to overcome the Lamb, it is because he has people working with him who he called the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Let me explain something. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives even unto death. I'm bringing out the principle here. That is because this is what it is with believers. It is through them that God is going to change things and turn things around. And listen to me, Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. I am sure of that. And in case I'm wrong, you won't be able to do anything. If you find out that I'm wrong, you won't be able to accuse me anyway. We'll be over there and we'll be discussing in the past. What he said yesterday was incorrect. So what does it matter? We're all here now. All right. But there's a reason why I'm saying that. There is a reason. He says, "Sit at my right hand." He said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for thy feet." This is the point I'm making. That is, until Jesus, his called, chosen, and faithful people literally overcome the beast, Jesus is not going to come back. He's not coming back to pull out a retreating army. He's coming back to receive a triumphant one. Do you follow the point I'm making? I'm explaining something here. So you take a country like ours, Nigeria, say, oh, corruption is everywhere. Police is bad. This one is bad. Customs like this. NEPA is not working. NNPC, you tell all the stories. You know what God is saying? I have not been able to do anything despite the fact that you have prayed, because I have not yet found enough of the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And listen to me, saints of God. When you are facing temptation in life, understand, it is not about that job.